PPI.org.
Good evening. Thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into, ideas about, and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you for Annie Harvo, who is my engineer, and Charlene Dahl, who's my research team. Tonight, we are speaking with Tony Wintersdorf. Tony is talking about his new CD, Unicorns and Rainbows, and about his memoir that will be coming out soon. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening. Hi, Sam.
Good to see you again. I want to remind people before we get started that there's a couple options here. If you miss our live broadcasts or need to catch it other times, you can hear us on a podcast. Just ask your podcast player to play Disability and Progress, and you should be able to hear the latest episode. If you want to hear the last two archivable episodes or stream us live, you can download the app on your smartphone from the App Store, and you can do it that way. So we have many ways of hearing things. Thanks again for joining me, Tony. So it has been such a crazy time, and it's been a long time since you've been on. So we got a lot of catching up to do.
Yes,
so
we
first
do.
Of all, can you talk about a little bit about disabilities, your disability? This is Disability and Progress. So can you give the listeners an idea of what your disability is?
Yes, I have a mental health disability. Mm-hmm. I've suffered from depression and anxiety most of my life, and also from some OCD.
Ah,
OCD. Ever since I was in college, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that can be kind of a big deal. You can come and clean my house, then you could probably clean twice as good as me.
Right.
So since we're on this topic, can you tell me a little bit about, like, this is a crazy time. So you almost can't get away without having a show right now without talking about the COVID thing, even though people are probably past tired of hearing about it, but it is going to be here for a little while. So how has COVID affected you personally?
Well, personally, I haven't been affected by the illness. I've been very lucky. I've had some friends who contracted it.
Oh, my.
And I hear a lot about it in NPR. You know, it's in the news every day. And I wrote one of my songs is about that theme.
Yes.
Of COVID.
And so has it affected you as far as, like, are you taking more precautions? Are you nervous about being around other people? About disability-wise, is this kind of preyed on a little bit about the mental health part of it?
Actually, it hasn't affected me negatively. I've been feeling pretty good lately. So that's good. I do take precautions when I go shopping at Target, for example. I always wear my mask. Mm-hmm. When I take the bus, I take the buses everywhere. I always wear my mask there. So I'm pretty careful
good.
About the social distancing and the mask.
That's right. Well, thank you. And I'm glad that this is, I think sometimes it can be, you know, a tough thing for anybody. And I think sometimes if you're really used to being around people and not having a lot of by yourself time, I think, you know, people kind of get a little bit affected right now. I want to talk about, you're obviously an artist, and we're going to feature your some of your songs in just a minute. How many instruments do you play now?
Oh boy, lost count. About 8 different instruments. And I play the otter harp is my main instrument. I also play guitar, harmonica, flute, banjo, piano, and tin whistle.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about the otter harp, because you do a lot of that on your CDs. And what made you want to actually learn that particular instrument? Because it is a different instrument all on its own.
Yeah, I'd never heard of the otter harp until I picked up a record from the library in the 1970s called Mountain Music for the Otter Harp, and I fell in love with the record. And after that, I just was lucky to meet several people who were playing the otter harp, including Stevie Beck.
Did
and
you?
And I took lessons from her.
Oh, I was wondering, I was like, did you teach yourself?
No, she taught me how to play.
Excellent. But I suppose kind of, you know, playing an instrument is an endless learning experience, right?
Yeah.
You never really quit learning, and the practicing just makes you better and better.
Right.
So I'd like to play a track from your CD. The track that I want to play is exactly coordinated with this COVID time, right, called Wash Your Hands. Can you talk a little bit about the inspiration on this? Obviously COVID was, but talk a little bit about the track.
Yeah, I was trying to put a sort of positive spin on it and make it into sort of add some humor to it. That's why the chorus was sort of almost funny in a way. And some people have commented it sounded like a children's song in some ways. So that was,
but it is a humorous song. So I kind of, it feels like a little bit uplifting to sometimes what is being talked about now. So let's hear that. Wash your hands.
What can we do? Where can we go? I just don't know. I just don't know. A new phrase has come our way in this strange new age. It's called social distancing and is all the rage. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Wear a mask and stay in place. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Wear a mask and stay in place. They've canceled social gatherings of groups of more than 10. They've canceled hugs and handshakes until God knows when. We cannot go to movies or eat in coffee shops. We cannot work out at the Y as human contact stops. So wash your hands, don't touch your face. Wear a mask and stay in place. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Wear a mask and stay in place. Don't touch your face. Wear a mask and stay in place. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear a mask and stay in place. So don't give up. Just Zoom all your friends. Believe me that we will prevail until this COVID ends. So wash your hands, don't touch your face. Wear a mask and stay in place. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Wear a mask and stay in place.
And that was off of his Unicorns and Rainbows. Wash your hands, Toni Wintersdorf. I like it, Toni. And I like how she has that little delay in the chorus, you know, when she's responding.
That's her idea. Yep.
Yeah, it was good. It totally made the song jump to a different level. You know, I thought interesting. Toni, speaking of this, though, you've released a number of CDs. What number is this for you now?
I think I have about 8 CDs now.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
Probably this is my favorite so far.
Somebody told me all your stuff is like children. You're not supposed to pick. I'm like, oh, whatever.
Right.
Everyone picks a favorite, you know, or something they're particularly proud of on their CD. Do you feel like you've done anything different with this CD than some of your others?
Yeah. The last CD I did with Mary, It was specifically a children's CD. I wrote all children's songs on it. And I enjoyed playing it with Mary because it was inspired by her grandson. I got to know her grandson, who was from the time he was born almost till he was about 3.5 years old.
Aww.
So he inspired some of the songs on that CD.
Yes. Well, can you talk a little bit about what is the writing process like for you? And, you know, how it changes from CD to CD?
Actually, I sort of just get ideas, you know, for songs. And then I just sit down and write down notes. And, you know, I take a lot of notes and everything. And then sleep on it overnight. And then the next day, try to put it all together into a song. It's usually the process.
Maybe sleeping on it is the trick, huh?
That helps. Yeah, let the subconscious do its work.
Gotcha. So do you do all your own writing?
Mostly, yeah. I do my own writing, yeah.
Have you ever had somebody write a song for you?
Not for me specifically. One person did write a song about me once. So that was sort of neat.
Do we want to know about that?
Probably not. No. Oh. It was okay. I have collaborated with a couple of friends on songs, though.
Ah, okay. So I can't imagine somebody writing a song about me. I'd be afraid.
Maybe I'll try.
Okay. Yeah, I'll. Yeah, you be gentle.
Okay.
So, you know, I think this CD has, I think, run the gamut. What I noticed on these CDs, you kind of got a happy-go-lucky song, and you have also, you know, about a serious issue, and then you have a really morose song, you know, about a serious issue, and then you have some really kind of sweet songs. So I felt like this piece of work was kind of a nice mix. You know, I think sometimes people get stuck in a mood for their work. So how do you make sure you kind of switch it up? Do you feel like you've switched this up the most in the CD, or do you try to do that in every CD?
I think this is probably the most varied CD I've made. That's why I like it, because it has different moods, everything from blues to the children's songs to sacred to topical, political.
Yeah. I want to talk about, you know, something that I think is serious. I don't really often talk about this on the show, and not that I don't want to, but I think it's so all around us so much that, and it really has affected me in a way that I feel almost angry at a lot of the stuff that's going on, because people are they're just not thinking, and they're just doing, and instead of asking themselves what they're doing, how is it helping society? It really is hurting, and I don't understand. So I'm just talking about all the unrest that has gone on. And do you feel like this has had a big personal effect on you?
Yeah, it has. It's sort of scary for me because I'm sort of in the middle of the heart of the beast, as it were.
Yeah.
Because I live near Nicollet Mall, on Nicollet Mall, and some of the riots affect me personally. And I remember when those buildings were burning on Lake Street, that's near my church, and I could smell the smoke and hear the booming sound, so it was pretty scary.
And how did that make you feel?
Mainly scared, I guess. Even scared to walk downtown sometimes, because there were people hanging out sometimes and doing stuff that was sort of dangerous.
And you being there, living in downtown, you can actually see all the destruction. Yeah. Not that this destruction is just to Minneapolis. You know, I think many big cities around are finding that they're kind of in the heart of that.
Right.
I would just encourage people to, you know, certainly not get into that. I think there's an appropriate, peaceful thing to do things, but boy, causing so much wreckage hurts many businesses, makes your city in more poverty, and just frightens everyone all around.
It affected me personally too, because like I usually go shopping at Target downtown, and during that first riot in May, the Target store was closed, completely boarded up because of the riots and looting.
Yeah, that's very sad. I want to play a song that kind of follows the topic we're talking about, and called I Can't Breathe. It's track 8 on your CD, and it's from George Floyd's death. Can you talk about why you decided to write something about that?
I was really impacted by what happened there, but the racial issue there. And I felt like I wanted to write a song about that because it was such an important issue. That's basically my motivation.
What do you want people to take from it?
Oh, well, just to remember what happened and maybe to try to make some positive changes as a result, you know, to have more racial justice as a result of that.
Let's hear track 8 from Unicorns and Rainbows. I think we're going to hear track 8.
I can't breathe, oh, I can't breathe. Mama, help me, please, 'cause I can't breathe. I can't breathe, oh, I can't breathe. Mama, help me, please, 'cause I can't breathe. His neck pinned by an angry knee, I can't breathe, his final plea. Mama, help me, his last words, while others watch, he dies unheard. One man dies out on the street, another black life is held so cheap. Will this end? I cry in vain. When will we end this endless pain? I can't breathe, oh, I can't breathe. Mama, help me, please, oh, I can't breathe. I can't breathe, oh, I can't breathe. Mama, help me, please, 'cause I can't breathe. Buildings burn and people choke on tear gas, flash grenades and smoke. Molotov cocktails tossed and hurled, a wild mob's fury is unfurled. Bricks are broken, glass is smashed, stores are looted, homes are trashed. Protesters rise in righteous rage for justice in an unjust age. I can't breathe, oh, I can't breathe. Mama, help me, please, 'cause I can't breathe. I can't breathe, oh, I can't breathe. Mama, help me, please, 'cause I can't breathe. Rioters swarm and run amok, doors and windows boarded up. Volunteers with spades and brooms sweep up alleys, guard their rooms. Hatred, bigotry must go. We'll overturn the status quo. We'll grow in numbers and in might as we stand up for our rights. I can't breathe, oh, I can't breathe. Mama, help me, please, 'cause I can't breathe. I can't breathe, oh, I can't breathe. Mama, help me, please, 'cause I can't breathe.
I Can't Breathe from Unicorns and Rainbows. Certainly a mood-changing song. I think that was, you know, we're not done with all of this, I think, and hopefully people will start handling it in a more constructive fashion, because I really think that's the only way things are going to really change and not damage even people who have no responsibility for some of this stuff. You do a lot of your music with Mary Parker. I want to talk a little bit about how did you meet her?
Yeah, I met her at my church, Walker Church, about 20 years ago, and we hit it off right away. Turns out that she has some of the same interests in music that I do. Mm. So we love singing together, and she plays drum too. She's got a beautiful voice.
Yes, it's fun to hear her collaborate a little bit in the songs. There's another one that she does that I thought she did a fine job on. So you've been doing quite a bit of music with her. And does she ever write any of your songs?
No, she doesn't write songs, but she plays, she sings a variety of songs, everything from hymns to gospel to show tunes to jazz, you name it. She knows a lot of different styles of music.
When you write your music or go in to perform a specific song, where do you do this at?
I've done it with various recording engineers. I've worked with about 5 or 6 different recording engineers so far. And the last one I've worked with in the last couple of CDs, I really like him a lot. I met him through church too.
Oh, so
he recorded our band at church.
Ah, okay.
We hit it off really well.
And so for the recording process, how do you decide, you know, what instruments you're going to add? Does he ever suggest something that might sound good, or does he just kind of let you take away the creative process and do what you want with the songs?
He lets me pretty much do what I'd like with a song.
Gotcha. I want to talk about I don't know. There's a couple good songs on here. I really liked song one, but Hummingbird was another really fun song that I thought was on this piece of work. And you did something that I can't remember you doing. I'm sure you've done on other songs, but you played the penny whistle, tin whistle, right?
Yeah, tin whistle.
And
yeah.
Explain what the tin whistle looks like.
It looks sort of like a recorder, but it's made of metal and has 6 holes. And a lot of Irish tunes are played on it.
Ah, gotcha.
Right. It's very well known for Irish tunes.
Yeah, so this was pretty fun because you added that in this song called Hummingbird. Do you want to talk a little bit about the song?
Yeah, I'd like to. That's one of my favorites on the CD.
I like it too.
It was inspired by a good friend of mine who is a bird watcher. And he saw this hummingbird near his apartment on a tree and took some pictures of it. And he talked about that, and that inspired me to write a song about a hummingbird.
Excellent. Let's take a listen.
Seeking sustenance from every flower and tree. Hummingbird, hummingbird, fragile and so shy. Hummingbird, hummingbird, flying up so high. Thank you. flight is light and airy, just like a summer breeze. Yet you bring us so much joy and put our hearts at ease. Hummingbird, hummingbird, fragile and so shy.
So how do you decide how you're going to split up your parts?
We work together. We brainstorm together. And Mary comes up with ideas that I don't think of sometimes. And sometimes I come up with ideas. And we've worked together for so many years, it's come pretty natural.
Ah,
enjoyable
excellent.
Process, yeah.
So you have done this before, but you also write, obviously. I mean, not just songs. Like, let's see, we were talking about this briefly, and you wrote a play that you did for the Fringe Festival.
Right.
And that was on therapy.
Right.
And it was an interesting, certainly piece of work. It was a bit disturbing, you know, which I think Right. You were trying to point out as like stuff like that is around. Right. Not all therapy is good therapy. Do you feel like you have found a place for yourself as far as keeping yourself kind of stable and therapy that works for you?
Yeah, I have a really wonderful therapist right now who's also an adoptee like I am. So
Aww.
She can really relate to some of the adoptive issues I have.
Yeah.
I like her very much. I'm very lucky.
Yeah. And that is good. I think people, it can't be stressed enough that, especially there during this time, but it is interesting how the medical actually field has, you know, lifted the bar. And I used to see very, very few things online, let alone not very much therapy session stuff online. And now it's just like a given. You
Right.
want therapy, you're going to do it online mostly, you know? So I'm happy to see things progressing in that way because I Right. think they can also reach a lot more people. There are people who would maybe never, for whatever reasons, be able to come into an office, or they won't because of
Right.
whatever angst or fears. And now they could, you know, have
Right.
that therapy and be online. I don't think that's something that's going away anytime soon, which is nice. Hopefully the virus will go away,
right,
but
right.
We will keep all the good, you know, parts right. that have come out of that. So that was that your first bit of writing that you did in regards to that play, as far as something really intense?
I've written quite a bit of poetry before that and short stories. So I've been writing since college, pretty much.
And how did you discover that you enjoyed writing?
I've taken some really neat journal writing classes, mm-hmm. and they encouraged people to write freely. I was an English major in college, but that was sort of restrictive because they had certain standards. You're supposed to write in a certain way. But I like the more free-form journal writing classes, like through the Loft and other places like that.
Oh, yeah.
Where I could express
yeah.
myself the way I want to.
And you've found some good classes at the Loft?
Yeah, I have, and other places too. I belong to a journal writing group right now. It's through Vail Place. Maybe you've heard of Vail Place.
Yes, we've interviewed them.
Oh, neat. Yeah, it's a drop-in center for mentally ill. And
uh-huh.
I've belonged there for about 2.5 years, and I belong to their History Theater writing group. And we perform our writing a couple times
oh.
a year at the History Theater in St. Paul.
Cool.
So
yeah,
sort
if
of
I remember right, when you wrote that play, you know, you had people perform that.
Right.
What was it like, or what is it like seeing your writing performed?
It was very exciting for me. It's like a dream come true. It's sort of a dream fulfillment. Yeah, it's very exciting.
Is it in itself therapy for you, or is it... Just
yeah,
something
it is.
That kind of, okay.
It is, yeah.
You have a memoir coming out, I think, or
right.
will be out soon or something. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've finished a memoir. It's taken me about 4 or 5 years to write. And it traces my life from the beginning, from the time I was born in Germany to the time I immigrated to the U.S. when I was 9 years old. And then it traces my adolescence in Cincinnati, Ohio, and then my college and adult years in different places in Europe and also in Minnesota. So it covers a lot of territory.
Yes. You talk a little bit about, you know, the first section about when you were abandoned and being adopted. Right. And you were quite young, and I'm sure maybe you don't remember some of that. But sometimes I think people think, you know, when they're abandoned or adopted, it has a profound or can have a profound effect on them. Did you find that had an effect on you?
Yeah, I think it has. I think it's partly contributed towards my mental illness, my depression, the abandonment, because I also lost my adopting mother when I was only 5 years old. Mm. So I've had a lot of losses in my life, and that's affected me pretty deeply.
And were you close to your mother? I mean, I think being young, you know, at that particular age, that's a sensitive age, you tend to be closer to the mom.
Yeah, I was real close to her. I don't remember much about her, but I'm sure I was real close. Because many years later, my dad sent me some letters she wrote to me before she died, and they showed how much she loved me and really made me cry. So it was very touching, the letters.
Do you feel like that in itself helped some healing?
Yeah.
What helps you through, you know, times where you kind of get those abandonment feelings? Right. I'm sure there's certain things in life that might set them off.
Oh, the therapy helps a lot too, talking about it with somebody who understands. And then also writing and playing music helps me. Just being creative helps me express some of those feelings through poetry and music and songs.
Yeah. I'd like to play another song from your CD. I think I may have forgotten the track number. I apologize, Annie, but it's the Zoom song. Is it the last one?
That's the last one on the CD.
Last one on the CD. Okay. So can talk a little bit about that. That's very appropriate right now.
That was a lot of fun to write because I belong to many Zoom groups now. I'm Zooming everywhere. It's just amazing. My church is through Zoom. Different arts groups I belong to through Zoom. My therapist is through Zoom. Everything seems to be through Zoom.
And as I was saying before, it is interesting that we have such an online presence now. I mean, most of us who maybe occasionally went online or went online to do our email or, you know, silly things like that. And now it's like you're online so many hours of the day. And again, I just think that we will never quite go back to as much out as we were. You know, I think maybe some people will, they'll make a big effort to, but I think there will be always a pretty good sized group that stays online like that. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I used to be sort of computer phobic when I was younger, and I've had to learn kicking and screaming about, I'm not naturally tech savvy. It's been a hard learning curve for me, but I'm learning a little bit here, a little bit there.
Excellent. Well, let's hear about the Zoom song.
Zoom, 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 zoom. I'm just zooming along in my so alone, we're together virtually, sitting in my underwear besides my kids and cat. Yes, it's me, I'm really there. Zooming's really where it's at. Zoom, 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 zoom. I'm just zooming along in my room. I'm singing a brand new song. Turn on your camera and your mic, fire up your screen. Don't leave me now to take a hike. Show me where you've been. We are not so far apart. Just give me a sign. We can have a heart-to-heart as we Zoom and Skype online. Zoom, 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 Zoom. I'm just Zooming along in my
a Zoom song off of Unicorns and Rainbows with Tony Wintersdorf. Tony, who plays the guitar? Is that you?
That's me, yeah, playing.
You're just doing everything. Yeah. I don't remember you like dubbing yourself with yourself before, but you may have. Is this a new thing or did you?
I was able to lay a couple of tracks at the recording studio.
That's kind of fun.
So that was sort of fun. I wanted to do the echo effect.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did you learn to play the harmonica?
Oh, many years ago, I got inspired by Bob Dylan. Learned how to play guitar and harmonica. I wanted to play it like him, you know, together.
Yeah.
And I actually won a Bob Dylan Sound Alike contest one year.
Did you? Here,
locally in Minneapolis.
Wow.
Back in 93. Yeah, that was exciting.
Cool. So how many harmonicas do you have?
Oh, I lost count somewhere.
That many?
I have quite a few.
I had a dear friend who has since died, but he used to wear a harmonica vest. Wore this vest and all over were these slots where the harmonicas could go. And if you would ask him to play, do you know how to play this song? He'd just whip out a certain harmonica key, you know, was in that key and start playing it. I was like, okay.
I should get one of those.
Yes, you should.
Yep.
It was fun. I want to go back a little bit to your memoir. What's the name of it?
It's called Born in the Year Zero. And I could maybe share why I titled it that way.
Why did you?
The year zero, the Jahr Null in German, was considered the low point in modern German history because after the Hitler period. And there was so much destruction and, you know, so many refugees and other terrible things happening in Germany at the time. And that's when I was born, 1945. So I identify with that.
And I'm curious, did you ever have a desire to go back and try to trace down your real parents?
Not yet. I have a friend from the library who's encouraging me to try to trace my ancestry, but I haven't done that yet.
Well, you know, I wish you luck if you do that, but I think, you know, people have to do it in their own time and also be prepared that it may be not so nice when they find whatever they find. So as long as you are good with it, then.
Yeah.
You also talk in your memoir about immigrating to the U.S.
Right.
Do you remember that process and what it was like?
I remember a little bit about being on the boat. We sailed for about 2.5 weeks from Bremen to New York, and mm-hmm. there was a big storm in the middle of our voyage. Oh, and so that I wrote about that in the memoir a little bit, the storm.
Were you an English speaker then, or did you just...
No, I didn't know a word of English.
Oh, wow.
So I learned from scratch. But my dad could speak English fluently. He grew up in England for a while, so he was bilingual.
And so my understanding is you didn't migrate or immigrate until you were like 9, right?
Nine. Yeah, I was 9. Yeah.
But he had you for a while, but you still spoke German. Did he not wish to introduce you to English, or did you just?
When I was in Germany living there, we just spoke German. He didn't speak any English with me until we came to the U.S.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So many changes at that young of age. You know, learning a new language, and not really at like 5 or something, when a lot of kids learn it, you know, when you're older, which also can be harder, and going to a new country. So do you remember any feelings you had about, was it exciting? Was it scary?
It was, the ocean voyage was very exciting, mm-hmm. but when I came to settle in Cincinnati with my dad, it was, sort of a sad situation because I was in foster families for about a year and a half because my dad was working full-time and studying full-time, and he wasn't able to take care of me the whole time.
What was he studying for?
Yeah, he wanted to, his dream was to become a college teacher of English. And that's what he did. He became a college professor, yeah.
Excellent. Where did he teach?
At Xavier University in Cincinnati, Ohio.
That must have made you kind of proud of him too.
Yeah, he was a very distinguished professor there, yeah.
When did you discover that you had a disability?
I think when I was in college, I first noticed that, you know, sometimes I would feel like I couldn't do anything. I was totally immobilized. You know, I couldn't study. I couldn't talk to friends. I was just totally, all I wanted to do was sleep. And then I realized later on that was probably depression.
And the OCD, when did you discover that?
That was later on, I think maybe in the last 10 years or so, when I have an episode of severe depression and anxiety, mm-hmm. I tend to want to escape by doing OCD behaviors. Like I used to play a lot of computer games and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
How did that, you know, knowledge that now you had a disability and your life would be forever changed, really, right? Now that you knew, you'd have to kind of reconcile yourself with that. How did that change you?
I think it changed me in the sense that I finally started looking for help. When I was in Germany, I went back to Germany when I was about 25 years old.
Oh, wow.
To go back to my hometown, discover my roots.
Yeah.
And there I saw a psychologist for the first time, because I had a severe episode of depression there. Mm. So I finally sought help, and he recommended a therapy group for me, a weekly therapy group. And that's when the process started of many different kinds of therapy throughout the years.
Do you feel that Germans look at disability different, you know, the country looks at disability different than here?
That's something I've never really thought about. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
Well,
even though some of the main therapists and psychiatrists have German roots, like Freud, mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. Vienna, and Jung, Carl Jung, mm-hmm. and Adler. They're all German background.
Yeah.
So they have a history of interest in psychology there in that country.
We're speaking with Tony Wentersdorf about his CD, Unicorns and Rainbows, and his memoir, Born in the Year Zero. Is that what it is?
Yeah, right.
When should that be coming out?
Hopefully in late September or October sometime, it'll be published into a book. I found a gentleman who was willing to edit it for free for me.
Wow, nice.
So all I have to do is pay for the printing costs.
So what was it like writing this memoir? Was it hard? Was it painful?
It wasn't so much painful, but it was really hard because I had a lot of, you know, just trying to remember all those things. A lot of things I don't remember. So trying to track down all those memories was difficult for me.
Did it force you to go back and do a lot of soul searching?
Yeah. Once I started the process of writing, some memories came back to me that I didn't know that I had. So that was sort of neat experience.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about your memoir or the writing process of it?
Yeah, there's one poem that I'd like to share. And I can give a little background. This is when I was back in Germany. I went back when I was about 25 years old, and I lived in a dormitory. And I was one of the 10% of foreign students in my hometown, which is really sort of weird. And my best friend, there was a guy from Togo, Africa, and I wrote a poem about him.
Oh, excellent.
He had a beautiful name, Ebenezer Tuliasi. Ebenezer Tuliasi, where are you today? Are you back in Togo, land of your birth, ministering to the afflicted? Ebenezer Tuliasi, your name sounds like the sweet songs you sang and played on your guitar, or like the lovely tapestries you hung on your dorm room walls that transported you back home. Ebenezer Tuliasi, such a good friend to me in Marburg when I was floundering. I almost lost you then, but I will always remember you now for the gifts you gave me.
Very nice. Are there, there's also photos in your memoir, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of photos. My dad took a lot of photos of me growing up, which is really nice to have those.
Yeah, yeah, that would be nice because almost like a little record, right?
Right, exactly.
I wonder, I hope, I mean, I think in the land of smartphones now, people are very photo happy, but what I see so much is that not necessarily photos always, but like a lot of videos. Right. But I also, I'm kind of a little bit old school and I'm sort of still partial to photos because you have to sit down and watch a video. You know what I mean? And,
right.
And it takes more time and a lot of people don't do it, but photos, you can really kind of flip through and right. You can get a really good snapshot of somebody's kind of path if you do it well. And I think that that's kind of fun.
And you can go back to them over and over and over again.
That's right. You can go back to them over and over and over again. Do you think that, you know, I want to go back to that song Zoom that you did. Mm-hmm. You talk about so many of your things being on Zoom, many things actually that you're doing. And I wonder if you feel that that is what has kept you stable, is that strong online presence, being able to reach out to people kind of more often than not.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that has kept me connected to people so I don't feel so alone.
Yeah. And have you ever compared with somebody else with mental illness to see if that, you know, this online stuff has helped them?
Yeah, I belong to a Zoom group through Vail Place. Mm-hmm. And some of them have the same positive experience about going on Zoom. They seem to enjoy it too.
I want to talk about a song that you did called Love is Like.
Oh, yeah.
A sweet song. But I found it interesting. The last line is interesting. But talk a little bit about what inspired this song.
Yeah, that was one of the very first songs I wrote way back in 1971.
Really?
When I was living in Germany at the time, you know, I went back as a student. And I don't even remember that far back what inspired it, but all I remember is that's one of the very first songs I wrote.
And at the end, you say something like, love is like none of those. And you give many examples for what you think love is. And what was your point you were trying to get across as far as that goes?
I suppose that love is so big it can't be encompassed by any one thing. It goes beyond, you know, all the things.
Well, let's hear it.
Love is like a rainbow in the sky. Love's a slice of lemon meringue pie. Love is like a willow in the breeze. Love is really none of these. Love is really none of these. Love is like a kitten's soft meow. Love is like a furrow under plow. Love is like a baby's first new word. Love is like a sound you've never heard. Love is like an angel in the sky. slice of lemon meringue pie. Love is like a willow in the breeze. Love is really none of these. Love is really none of these. Like an angel's wing on high.
Love is like a cherry tree in bloom.
Love is like a warm and cozy room. Well,
love is like a rainbow in the sky.
Love's a slice of lemon meringue pie. Love is like a willow in the breeze. Love is really none of these. Love is really none of these.
Can tell the fun that you have when you're yep. doing imaginative things like that, and the female part really adds a lot too to, right. to the song.
It sure does.
You have a good part of the stuff in your memoir about you and your dad. Are you still close to your dad?
Well, he died 2012, it's been about 8 years now. But I got really close toward the end of his life. We got really close together. Yeah. We went through some struggles earlier on, but we reconciled and grew really close.
And how was he receptive to understanding that you had disabilities?
Yeah, at first I think he felt a little bit threatened that, you know, that when I was in therapy that I might say things about him, you know, that weren't so favorable, but eventually he supported me in my therapy process.
That is the best. How can people get your CD, Unicorns and Rainbows?
Unfortunately, I don't have anything on Spotify or that kind of stuff. They can probably just email me and I can leave my email address. How would that be?
Yes, please do.
Probably the easiest. It's afwentersdorf@hotmail.com. Shall I spell the last name?
Yes, please.
It's W-E-N-T. ERSDORF.
So all right.
AFWentersdorf@hotmail.com.
And hopefully your memoir, Born in the Year Zero, will be out soon. And I presume maybe you'll get someone to, if you haven't already, set up a website to be able to sell it.
Can try to work on that. Yeah, that's one of my goals. Yeah.
Well, Tony, thank you so much. It's been good to talk with you again. It's been a long time. I'm glad we could reconnect, and good luck with your memoir.
I really enjoyed talking with you too.
And good luck with the CD. I think it's a fun CD and I hope it gets in the hands of people who enjoy it.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. Take care. Have a good rest of the evening.
You too. This has been Disability and Progress. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KFAI or its board of directors. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Charlene Dahl is my research team. Annie Harvu is my beloved engineer. We were speaking with Tony Wentersdorf, who was talking about his new CD, Unicorns and Rainbows, and also his memoir, Born in the Year Zero. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. If you'd like to be on my email list, you may email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. Fresh fruit is up next. Good night.